What are my orders, Commander?
Operation Seawolf.
I'm milling about with Stephen Luke, and he is the director of Operation Seawolf. Hey, Stephen.
Hello. Really excited to be here. Love the ship background. The Navy ships are always fun to see. Yes.
You had the best special effects in this movie, but we'll get to that.
Oh, well, I really appreciate that. I know the team will love to hear that, so thank you.
So, okay, so now tell me the story about your real name. I won't even bother pronouncing it.
Oh, yeah. No, I think this is fun. So, obviously, much like everyone, you know, my name is Luke Schutzel. It's a very good German last name. I was the first one in my family. You know, obviously, everyone would always have trouble saying Schutzel. So I came up with the saying that was like, well, it's Schutzel, like pretzel. And people would, Schutzel, pretzel, like it really, and usually when I tell people that, they get it. I mean, it's never a problem before or after that. But until that point, everyone would be like, Schutzli, I've heard Schlotzky. I mean, it's always fun. It's always fun when people are trying to pronounce German last names. I do the exact same thing because I'm not fluent in German, so.
Schutzel,
like pretzel. Yeah. So yeah, that's my name. It's the name of my production company, Schutzel Company Productions. Obviously because of when I first got started doing it in films, people would have trouble pronouncing the last name. People would have trouble spelling the last name in things, which is understandable. I mean, I screw it up too. I came up with, obviously like actors, you know, I had stage name, Stephen Luke in college, in one of the dorms. I was first a freshman. For some reason, like my name got mixed up with someone else's. So everyone thought my name was Stephen. So kind of like the first couple days or whatever, you're kind of meeting with everyone is like, oh, this is Stephen over here. And I just thought that was hilarious. So then I kind of took that experience and when I was thinking of a stage name that people could pronounce, I'm like, well, people can definitely say Luke and people can definitely say Steven. And so it's got that little inside joke for me because of that. So Steven Luke, you know, everyone always just calls me, you know, obviously through the years have gone by, done lots of productions, lots of different things. So I always tell people once we become friends, you can easily call me Luke. That's not
all right. I'm calling you Luke.
Luke is totally fine.
So, Luke, this is also a family production. I think your brother is involved, right? Your brother Graham is the producer.
Yeah. So, much like Schutzel Company Productions, which is my production house, I utilize all my family members in some aspect, in some way. If you've got the last name Schutzel, you get brought on board to do some sort of aspect. Of the film. I always joke with my, I'm married, I've got three kids, I got a fourth one on the way, which is
good for you.
Thank you. And I remember my crew would always, not joke, because they're used to, you know, kind of seeing my kids grow up. They're all young, you know, my oldest is six, but, you know, so they've been seeing them, you know, throughout when we do productions, kind of getting bigger. And my always running joke is like, yep, I have so many kids because I'm training them for crew positions so I can replace you. So they just think that's just so funny.
Now, I love where you grew up. And also you kind of like grew up on the land, so to speak. I think your dad's part of a sort of real estate company that sure. You got involved with at some point as a media consultant, which I got such a big kick out of that.
So yes, my family, we grew up and as a kid. You know, my dad is kind of he's a real estate agent. Yes, of course. He's an auctioneer. So, and it's kind of, he does both skills, very well. And he kind of specializes in doing, land auctions. Being from South Dakota, we have a lot of, farm ground, you know, grazing ground, as it would say. So, auctions is a very popular, method of selling things, real estate in South Dakota. So he, you know, as a kid, that's dad. And, but we'd also do a lot of, you know, estate sales and different things. So, I mean, I can move out of house like none other. Me and my brother can, you know, if you need a fridge moved out of a basement on a stairs that you have no idea how that fridge got down in there to begin with, we'll figure it out.
I love it. I love it. So then how did you make the transition into filmmaking? And also, where is your love of the military? Where does that come from?
Oh, sure. So I, you know, probably much like most filmmakers, you know, you start with your love of movies as a younger kid, always loved doing it. I was very fortunate and blessed. I kind of got a group of friends that are very, you know, they wanted to be filmmakers, love watching movies. So, you know, kind of in that teen years, that's kind of what we did, do little different things with the camera. And I've always kind of just, I had that love. That's what I wanted to do. And so, you know, when you kind of get to that college age, you kind of have a decision to make, kind of like maybe what path you want to go on. And my parents were always amazing. I mean, they always encouraged me to follow my heart, do what I wanted to do, so I always wanted to do filmmaking in that regard. But me personally, I'm a very analytical person, and my brain said, hey, there's lots of aspects to filmmaking that it would be wise to learn about. And so when I went to school, I mean, I ended up getting a history degree because I love history. But I took a lot of, you know, business classes. I took acting classes, you know, film related classes, because I really wanted to, you know, kind of just utilize that time to kind of work on my skills. You know, obviously some people will go to like a film school, which is, you know, I would definitely recommend if for some of the technical aspects of things. You know, I really liked producing films, I mean, and other stuff. So I felt like the more of the business side of learning that aspect was going to serve me a little bit better and kind of the thing I was interested in. So, so that I kind of just, you know, transitioned into doing films, and you just kind of take one step at a time and, you know, do something bigger or better and you know, kind of go from there. My love for the military obviously stems from, much like everyone's, I mean, having relatives served in the past, you know, kind of learning about your family history. You know,
so what relatives served where?
So I think I had my grandfather was in the Air Force during World War II. He, you know, he never got to go. He was, I don't want to say he was late, but, you know, kind of much like a lot of servicemen that joined and, you know, were eligible to join in like 44 or 45 towards the end of the war. They did all their training and were ready to go. And then the war was over. So, my grandfather was, I feel like I'll probably say this wrong. It was either like a B-24 bomber or B-29 bomber, like gunner. So he was in the tail gunner. So he was in the very back end of the bomber, where, you know, like it's a little ball and they have to crunch up and circle around. So that was him. And that's a very low survival rate. So I'm very fortunate that, or at least I'm so glad that he didn't have to serve overseas. But I mean, I know for him, like, he got his training done. He was ready to go to Europe, and they gave him, as I've heard this story, they gave him, you know, like a week or a pass, whatever the pass was, to kind of say, not say goodbye, but like tell his family bye. And, you know, kind of, and then you're going over to Europe. And, you know, he would go on his pass, and then the war was over. So he came back, did his trained to go to the Pacific. Same thing. He got his leave, you know, he was getting ready to go, he got his leave, came home, and then the war was over. So he didn't need to head overseas. So, you know, obviously he has a huge impact on me.
Did he ever have an opportunity to see your movies?
Unfortunately, you know, he never had an opportunity to even see me. So
I know.
You know, he passed away. I mean, he was a farmer, and he loved that, obviously, but he had a love of the Air Force and a love of flying. So he got his own commercial pilot's license, he actually passed away in a plane crash. So, which is, yeah, very sad. But you know, it's kind of one of those things where, like, he loved flying. He loved being in the sky, you know, stemming from that, you know, time in the military. And I think a lot of veterans are, I don't want to say they have a love of flying, all of them, but I think they really do hold on to that aspect of the military that they find themselves in. And they do have a love of what that life was like. And I do think it's something that obviously he, you know, he was very proud of that, and you know, always, you know, it stuck with him throughout his whole life. So that's a, you know, to me, that's, I feel like if you have to go, at least it's, you know, it's, you're doing something that you love to do.
Absolutely. So in this film, Operation Seawolf, if you're big on the submarines, there's lots of that jazz going on, as you can see behind me. So talk about the tricks. I want to hear all about them. Like, you know, shooting in a submarine, what that felt like, and out of the submarine, and how you did all the special effects. I want to know everything.
Yeah, no, obviously you have a challenge. Every movie has their own challenges when you're trying to make them. Some of the things that this movie presented to me that were a little bit unique, you know, it's set on the ocean. Obviously I've got some bigger naval battles, and clearly I'm not going to be able to, you know, get those ships out on the ocean to recreate those scenes. So we were leaning very heavily on the VFX team to recreate those sequences. And what was, you know, it was kind of my first time really getting a chance to utilize so many big VFX scenes, sequences. Yeah. And you know, it was first time really getting a chance to, okay, you know, well, and I felt like the whole movie was this way. This is the first movie that I've gotten to have where everything on the page kind of got to come to life. And so that was a fun experience, because sometimes when you do films, you know, and you're trying to make your day or get what you need to get done, you have to modify a sequence just to make sure you can get it. And this was the first time, I mean, really, everything that was in the final script was brought to life. And obviously interesting set of challenges when obviously we had a lot of live filming as well, you know, inside the submarine, on top of the submarine, or inside a ship and on top of a ship. So just, you know, obviously coordinating with that team and the actors just to say, okay, I know you can't see what it is that's out there at all, but just, you know, do the scene this way, you know, or, you know, do the scene like this, and just trust me, it'll be there. Like, trust me, it'll be just fine. Like, so
I got it. I just have to tell you my Dolph Lundgren story.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
First of all, I met Dolph in the early 80s. I'm showing my age. Hello. And he literally lived on top of Mount Olympus. I kid you not.
I believe it. I can believe it.
And he's huge.
Yeah.
Huge. So, and lovely and smart, and I had such a great time with him. So how did he fit in those tiny little spaces?
So we were very fortunate. I got a chance to, we shot inside the USS Cod, which is an American submarine located in Cleveland, Ohio. I totally recommend, if you're ever in Cleveland, please check out the Cod. It is amazing, incredible. You know, the submarine is huge, but at the same time, it's also small. Fortunately, unlike a German submarine, which I also was inside, we, you know, kind of seen how I could shoot inside it. And the German submarines are tiny, like very tiny, but the American submarines were just a little bit height wise, you know, their hallways were just a little bit taller. So, yeah, Dolph being inside the submarine, you can tell throughout the film, or definitely the shooting. I mean, you know, obviously fits, but he would practice a lot of just kind of like, okay. You could see when he walks, I don't want to say he sways, but he's trying to avoid.
He's, you know, walking sideways.
Yeah, yeah. He's walking sideways, and anything that maybe creeps down, in, you know, like a, I don't want to say a wire, but a cable, something on top, and he would avoid with his head. And it was just, I'm sure it was, you know, one, a more unique thing that an actor has to deal with. And it was just, I mean, he just handled it with such grace and posture, and he would get it. And then he would utilize it in his performance. I mean, he fills every screen that he's on, regardless.
I know. I mean, every doorway he has to duck, they're not really built for him at all. Worked with him a lot.
I've worked with him, you know, during Seawolf. I'd worked with him in the past on a movie. And I, you know, after Seawolf, I did another movie called Come Out Fighting that we shot last summer. And I was fortunate enough to get to work with him again. You know, I love working with Dolph. He's just such a fantastic person, you know, and I think one of the things that he why I've been so fortunate to kind of work with him now, I think three plus times, is I, you know, I love giving him unique characters. And I think he sees that. I mean, he's
giving him a break. You're giving him.
Yeah. Like he knows I'm trying to find something different for him to play. Mm-hmm. You know, he's played a lot of characters, a lot of roles awesomely. I mean, he's some of the most iconic, you know, characters in movie history. And so I think he enjoys, and he knows, like, if I'm trying to see if he wants to play a certain character, like, it's something that he will like. I mean, not saying he has to like everything, but it's something, hey, it's worth checking out, because Luke does, you know, he's not just giving me a generic character that I've played before. He's going to try to let me do something unique and different. And yeah, I mean, for Seawolf, we got to, I mean, one of the, you know, kind of prerequisites, my producing partner, Andre Rellis, came with me, how it kind of really got started is, hey, Dolph wants to play a submarine captain. What do you got? And so that's kind of how the story, you know, that's how the movie started. And so I pieced together, you know, a story and got it over to Dolph, and he loved it. And I heard back from him right away, which is not that that's uncommon, but sometimes, you know, actors, it takes a bit with their schedules. And he was like, hey, I love this character. I really want to develop him with you. I want to develop the story with you, because Dolph is an amazing storyteller.
I mean, oh, yeah.
He's an amazing actor. I mean, he directs. I mean, he's directed a couple projects. You know, even though he might not be a producer per se, he's been producing. Like, he knows the whole how to do everything, and just a tremendous wealth of experience. So it was fun on this one to kind of get to work together, you know, via phone calls, via emails of, you know, story and script. And really, you know, for me, just to kind of learn from, you know, someone with his experience and knowledge. I mean, just incredible, incredible man, super, super smart, super nice. And
he's like MIT educated, right? He's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say, like, you know, working with Dolph is, I mean, he's smarter than I am. So I listen when he has to say something. So.
And then you also got to work with Tom Berenger twice, I think. Another legendary actor.
Yeah, Tom. I love Tom so much. Just such a sweet, sweet soul. Amazing human being. I got to work with him twice. It's always fun when you can have an actor play a character and then get to kind of do a sequel, and he's willing to come back and play the same character. That always, you know, that always means he must have enjoyed it and had a good time. So, yeah, I mean, and Tom is just such a, you know, he was kind of the first actor that, and not that I wouldn't experience this with other named actors, but where I really got a chance to see how an actor can just, and I'm not trying to put down Tom as if he didn't prepare for the role by any means, but this is the first time I've ever seen a real actor, like, I've gotten to see a professional really just kind of like, hey, these are some new lines, you know, for the scene, or, you know, I would write a new, I had a new scene and I gave them to Tom, like, I'm sure he hadn't seen the scene yet. And he literally looked through it and read it and then, okay, great. And like, he had that thing memorized. And I mean, just, I think, I mean, he had everything, he had his lines memorized, but I think he had the whole scene memorized within one reading. And so it was amazing to watch, you know, that is a professional actor. They can have brand new scenes given to them right before they're supposed to shoot, and they got it. they deliver.
So I know you've acted many, many, many times. Do you like mixing it up and acting, directing together? Talk about that.
Yeah. So I do enjoy acting. My first love of filmmaking is to act. You know, acting, I always call it, that's the art for me. Mm. It, you know, and it allows me to play a character that I'm not normally. I mean, obviously most actors, that's the case. And I love that aspect of just trying to find different pieces of who, you know, if I was this person in real life, you know, like, this is how I would think I would be. And it gives me a chance to just kind of try on, you know, whether that be a hero, a villain, someone who's, you know, sad, I don't want to say sad, like, make it so simple, but just, you know, dealing with different issues and, you know, reacting to them. And, but then also knowing, like, oh, I, you know, me as a person, like, no, I would never be that way. Like, I couldn't do that, but at least this gives me a chance to kind of, you know, get that out of my soul. I'm very picky on when I kind of come out and play. in different things. But, you know, the directing has kind of really allowed me to, you know, directors obviously work, you know, have a story in mind that they're trying to tell, but I get to work really close with all the actors. And that, I think that's just, that has been a real blessing to me, because I love acting. I love working with the actors, and it's fun to just go on rabbit holes and discuss character and, you know, and then, but also
I think actors make the best directors.
Yeah, so. I would, yeah, I'm definitely biased, and I would agree as well. I mean, it definitely, I think just make it definitely at the bare minimum, you know, it allows characters really to shine a lot more. And because you can dive in, you know what those actors kind of have to, you know, experience, and you know, actors have a way of, you know, they live in those characters' shoes. I mean, they develop backstories, they walk a million miles in those characters back and forth and back and forth. And sometimes, you know, you want to lean on them for like, well, what do you see your character? I mean, how do you see this going? And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to do everything that maybe the actor sees their character do, but you can really start then developing that relationship of like going together on their journey, and like how you can, you know, naturally, organically, you know, go on the ride together. So I do think that when you are an actor as a director, it really does make for a better story.
Well, I'm your new biggest fan. I mean, I just discovered you in this film. So I'm so looking forward to much more from you, Luke.
Well, awesome. Well, I really appreciate it. Operation Seawolf, it's out today in select theaters. So get a chance to see it. I think it's also out digitally on October 25th. So yeah, it's always fun to kind of get the movie gets released and people get to watch it. And, you know, the cast and crew and their friends and their relatives can see all their work. And to me, that's what it's all about. I mean, obviously you want the movie to be good. I think all my movies are good. But I, you know, I'm really proud of everyone that gave me their time in order to create it. And so awesome to be able to showcase, you know, their work. So it's a very exciting moment.
Cool. Will you say hi to Dolph for me? I love him.
Yeah. I mean, I'll, yeah. Next time I talk to him, I talk to him. I don't want to
say. He won't remember me. It was such a long time ago. I should send you the picture of us together. Then he'll remember me.
I would love to see. He, you know, he's got an amazing memory. So I wouldn't be surprised. Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah. It was so nice to meet you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day.
Yeah. You too. Bye.
On a U-boat, every man decides his own fate.
Always news.
Always refreshing.
Always candid.
Always milling about.
Robin Milling delivers what celebrities are saying to you.